2 Kings chapter number 5. Amen. Got a little bit of a ring, Brother James. Amen. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. Everybody got your Bibles open?
Amen.
Got your mind open?
Amen.
Ready for the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable..." Amen. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.'" Now this is a letter that comes from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. And he's sending this letter, and with this these gifts, that the king of Israel would heal Naaman of his leprosy. In verse 7, "And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.'" In other words, he's asking me to do what I cannot do, and as the result of my failure, there's going to be a fight. That's what he's thinking. He knows I can't heal him. Does he think I'm a God that can kill or make alive and recover this man of leprosy? Of course not. He's seeking a quarrel against me. He's trying to start a fight. Verse 8, "And it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought, So that's where you get in trouble sometimes. Instead of receiving the message, instead of doing what God said, you get to reasoning it out. So, well, I thought. Behold, I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Or not, and then he names these rivers in Damascus, Abana or Farfar, I guess is how you say those names, in Damascus. Are they not better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now listen, can you get the picture here? Here's a leper. Here is Naaman the leper. And he, and of course, his leprosy is fatal. Okay? We're not talking about an ingrown toenail. We're talking about certain death. Leprosy was going to kill him. Okay? He comes to Elisha, the man of God's house, and because the man of God did not do what he thought he ought to do. Well, I thought you should have just come out and met me and prayed to your God. That's what he said. He said, I thought, in verse 11, that you'd just come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, strike your hand over the place, and I'd get to go home. In other words, all I'm interested in is a quick fix. That's all I'm in, and most people, that's all they're interested in, is just a little quick religious ritual, amen, to soothe their conscience. And so, of course, the man of God said, go wash in Jordan 7 times. Filthy, nasty, muddy river. And instead, here's a man that said, why would you want me to go wash in Jordan when we've got rivers in Damascus that are better than all the waters of Israel? You see any prejudice coming out there? You know, hey man. And he got mad. The Bible said he went away in a rage. But the man of God still didn't change. Thank God a true preacher is not going to let the rage of people change his message. In verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something, do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold now, there's been a change. Behold now. I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there and bow himself, or to worship there, and he leaned on my hand, verse number 18, and I bowed myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bowed down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name that you'll help us, God, to say some things, Lord, that would bring honor to you. Help me to preach like I wished I had. And I know, Lord, that without your enablement and your power Lord, you're quickening my mind, and Lord, giving us discernment, and Lord, direction of our mind, and being able to, Lord, to be tuned in, Father, on what you want us to say. Lord, preaching is a spiritual thing. Preaching, Lord, is humanly impossible. It requires the divine power of God. And I pray you'll help us now. Lord, save sinners in the service. Thank you for what you did this morning, Lord. We give you the praise for that. Lord, we give you the glory for that. Lord, have your will, Lord, in your way. And we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm interested in Naaman. I'm interested in the miracle that took place in Naaman's life. I believe that it is a classic illustration, an Old Testament illustration of the New Testament gospel, where the gospel of the grace of God is extended to Gentiles. Those that are rejected, Naaman was a Gentile. Naaman had no dealings. He was not to be accepted. He was an outcast. He was a reject, just like I was as well, as a Gentile. But we find how the grace of God reaches to a Gentile sinner. Amen. And he gets saved. His life is altered. His life is changed by the power of God. Amen. There's a few things we want to look at about Naaman, and I don't know that we'll get done tonight, but I want to try to give you some things about Naaman that the Lord just spoke to my heart about this man and about this passage of Scripture to deal with. The first thing I want to draw attention to tonight is his appealing character. I want to look at his appealing character. Verse number 1 gives us some insight to that. Verse 1 says that, well, the first thing that was said about him was he was a captain of the host of the king of Syria, and he was a great man. He was a great man. So if you're taking notes, the first thing you want to write down about his character is he was valuable. He was valuable. He was important to the king of Syria. Okay? We're talking about his character. We're just kind of looking at some things about him as a human being. Okay? He was valuable. And then we notice not only him being valuable, but he was honorable. The Bible says that in verse number 1. He was not only the captain, which means he was a head person. He was chief. He was a leader. He held a high position. Okay? The Bible said also he was a great man, which means he was mighty, a noble man, important. He was prideful. And then the Bible said he was honorable. Honorable. Honorable means he was advanced or exalted. He held a high position. And then the Bible says that he was not only valuable and honorable, but powerful. The Bible said there in verse number 1, he was a mighty man of valor. Now, the reason I point that out is that that people with these characteristics are very hard to win to God. They're not hard. It's not impossible for them to get saved. It's not impossible for them to get saved, but it's hard to win somebody to the Lord that is a person of pride and a person of prosperity and a person of position. A person, ladies and gentlemen, that is one of rank, one that is one of reputation, a man of riches, it's hard to win them to God because they're prideful. A person that is built up with self-importance and self-value, they're hard to win to God. Do you know that? It's difficult. You remember Jesus talked about the rich man there in Luke chapter 12. How hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Didn't say it was impossible, just said it was hard. Why? Because they trust in their riches and the pride and the reputation and all that comes with the riches and the position and all of that. It's hard to win somebody to God. It's hard to win a popular person to God. Do you know that? It really is. Why? They've just got so many things pulling on their life, so many things attached to their life, so that when God gets to dealing with them about getting saved, they get to thinking, well, now if I get saved, I'm going to have to quit this. If I get saved, I'm going to lose that. If I get saved, I'm going to have to change this. And usually, if there's a warfare and a tug of war there, most of the time, the devil wins. People will not turn what loose of things in their life to get saved. Amen. Listen, a lot of people would like to get saved if they could bring their baggage with them. A lot of people would love to get saved if they wouldn't have to quit anything, if they wouldn't have to give up nothing, if they wouldn't have to turn loose of nothing. I mean, they would be lined up from Rogersville to China to get saved tonight if they didn't have to change or quit anything. But we know tonight that God never saves anybody like that. Amen. I'm talking about he had an appealing character. A lot of people would envy this man. A lot of young people would look at this man and say, wow, what a position and what popularity and what prosperity and what pleasures and what, look at this man. Oh, I'd like to be like Naaman. Oh, I'd like to be like Naaman. He's prideful, very prideful. And I believe, no doubt, that probably, and I mentioned it some this morning, that pride probably has hindered more people getting saved than any one thing. Pride. What will people think about me? What will people say about me? How will my friends treat me? Will they like me? Will they not like me? Will they walk off and leave me? Will they won't have anything to do with me? Or what? My experience of that is, if you get saved by the grace of God, you don't have to dump a one. If you get full of the Holy Ghost and on fire and let your light shine really bright, those in darkness, they'll dismount themselves. They'll disassemble themselves. They'll cut you off. All of a sudden, they're going to be having their little shindigs and you're not invited. You know why? They don't want you around. If sinners like having you around, that's a bad testimony on your part. If those in darkness likes to have you around, that's a bad testimony for you. Amen. Amen. Sinners do not want those that are righteous, those that are living right, those that are letting their light shine, those that are salt of the earth to be around them. They don't like it. Amen. Separation is not really hard. Separation from the world, separation from sinners, it's not real hard to do. All you have to do is just get right with God. All you have to do is get right with God, and separation will be just about an automatic thing. But anyway, we talked about how he was a prideful man. And I read this illustration about, I'd rather call him Cassius Clay, I guess, Muhammad Ali. Everybody know he was a motor mouth. I couldn't stand to listen to him. The only bad part about that, Brother Jeter, he could back up what he said. That's the only thing I hated about him. Amen. He was a motor mouth. Amen. What was it? Amen. I don't even want to get on all that. But he was a prideful man, and he was on the airplane one day, and they was getting ready to taxi out on the runway, you know, and everybody has to be buckled up and all that. And so they told, you know, sent out the message over the intercom to buckle up, fasten your seat belts, prepare, you know, to take off. Well, he was sitting there, and he wouldn't buckle up. And so the attendants come to him and several times and told him to buckle up. And I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about being a prideful person. And he is an illustration of that. You'd have to agree with that. But he said, oh, Superman don't need to buckle up. And she thought a second and fired back. And she said, yeah, Superman don't need an airplane either. Buckle up. So he buckled up, amen. But he thought he was Superman. He thought, man, look, you know, because of his name and so forth. But here's a man in our text, Naaman the leper, had seemingly, from an earthly standpoint, everything going for him. I mean, he had the position. He had the approval and the applause of the king. He is called the servant of the king there in verse number 6. I mean, he's a mighty man with his master. But I want to move on secondly, not talking about his appealing character, but I want to talk about his appalling condition. I mean, this is a classic example of salvation in the Old Testament. Here we find the Bible says, after it went through that list, Brother Craddock, in verse 1, hey, he was a captain, he was a great man, he was honorable, and how that he was a mighty man, and all of that. But there's something else said. But he was a leper. Everything seemingly from a human perspective was a positive that was said about him, but it was interrupted by the statement, but he's a leper. And you know as I do, if you've studied the Bible, in Leviticus 13 and 14, that leprosy is a type of sin in many ways. And I don't have time to deal with all of that, but leprosy always starts on the inside. Leprosy always starts small. Leprosy always surfaces on the outside. It will soon take over. That is the nature of leprosy. Starts small, starts secret, starts on the inside, starts unseen, unnoticed, unknown by others. But before it's done, it has proceeded to take over and corrupt the entire body. That's just like sin. Sin starts small, but it won't stay small. It starts on the inside, but it won't stay on the inside. It will take over. It will make its way to where it's visible to your family. It'll be visible to your friends. It'll be visible to the neighborhood. It'll be visible to the community. Your sin will. Leprosy. And we know leprosy is just like sin in that it's fatal. Sin, leprosy is just like sin in that it's highly contagious. When a person had leprosy, they would be excommunicated and they would be put out of the town and out of the city, away from family and away from friends in a leper colony. You know why? Lepers usually run with lepers. Sinners usually run with sinners. Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. I can tell what you are by who you like running with and who likes running with you. Amen. Oh, I tell you, Brother Mark brought it out this morning. I forgot his name, but the fellow that started and still is over the Hepzibah house. He made mention, and Brother Mark mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, that Brother Ron Williams, and they asked him, out of all the years of bringing in girls into the girls' home, what is the common denominator? What is the common link of all of these girls? Of course, it wasn't various things. It wasn't rich or poor. It wasn't none of that. But after he studied on it a little bit, it came very clear to him. It came very clear to him the common denominator of all those girls, those troubled girls that were in his home there to try to help them, every one of them had a bad friend in their life. I believe it's one of the most powerful tools of the devil to work his will in your life, to work his way in your life, is to put an association in your life that'll corrupt you. I believe that. I believe that. A lot of the things that I tried and experimented with as a sinner, it came through being around people that was doing it. And then when they put the pressure on you and you know, call your names and all of that, and you think, well, if I don't do this, I'll not be in. If I don't do this, I'll be out. And next thing you know, you're doing it. Amen? Just like leprosy, the nature of sin, it gets bigger and bigger and worse. And so it is with the nature of sin. Leprosy, just like sin, it starts out, don't take much. But before it's over, it takes a lot of attention. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. I mean, there's people today in Hawkins County that's got several hundred dollar a day drug addiction. Several hundred dollars. Sin is just like leprosy. It'll take over. And it don't, here, hey, it don't ask you. Leprosy don't ask that body that it's in, I'm going to take over, can I? Will it be all right? No, it just does it. Sin will take over and ruin your home, your family. It'll take you down and throw you in the ditch of despair. Amen? It really will. Let's go on and deal with some things about his appalling condition. He was a leper, all right? And I want to say some things about that. There are 21 lepers. There are 21 lepers talked about in the Bible. 21. And of course, Naaman is one of those. But we look at this man, and we see his appalling condition. Hey, he was a leper. He had everything going, but there was one thing wrong and one bad thing wrong. He was a leper. Amen. You may be a good person, and you may have a lot going in your way that's good, commendable things, but you're a sinner. You may have a good family, but you're a sinner if you're not saved. Amen. But you're a sinner. You may be a good moral person, but you're a sinner. Okay? Amen. And I want you to know this was a condition. Listen, you'd have to go back and study the life of a leper and how bad that it was and how deforming that it was, how disfiguring that it was. Leprosy would take someone that was handsome or good looking or pretty, amen, from a physical standpoint. And by the time leprosy was done with them, many times it would eat their nose off, their ears would fall off, their fingers would fall off. And before it was over, I mean, they were a putrefying stench to be around. Boy, haven't we seen that? Haven't we seen that? I mean, you can go online and pull up the before and after pictures of drug addicts and drug addictions. I mean, it shows these real nice, pretty young ladies, you know, and then after sin had run its course in their life in just a matter of weeks and months and a very short period of time, I mean, they aged and it looked like they'd been run through the ring. Sin will wear you out, and I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to try to make it look as bad as I can because I want these young girls to think when they're being tempted, or these young boys to think when they're being tempted. Preacher Ratley said, this is nasty. Don't do it. Don't listen. Don't go that route. And you as parents should want a preacher that'll preach against sin to your children. Amen. Amen, that's right. And by the grace of God, we're going to try to do that. But he had an appalling condition. He was a leper. And thirdly, could I say this? Thirdly, and deal with this, and this is where I want to bog into just for a little bit tonight. I want to talk about his appreciated cure. His appreciated cure. Okay, he had a character that was admired by a lot of people. Envied by a lot of people, but he was a leper. Nobody wanted that part. They would like to have his money, but not his problem. They would like to have his position, but not his problem. And can I say, as I mentioned this morning, what good is it to be a captain if you're a leper? What good is it to be a great man in verse 1 if you're a leper? What good is it to be an honorable person if you're a leper? What good is it to be a mighty man in valor if you are a leper? What good is it to be popular, young people? And listen, I know you hear me say that a lot, but you know as well as I do, that's what a lot of young people live for. Every choice they make, it's come in light of, will this help me? Will this help me to be popular? Will this help me to be recognized? Will I get recognition? Will I get acceptance by this? If I do this or don't do that? Popularity. What good is popularity if you miss heaven and die in your sin and go to hell? What good is that, church? What good is that, young lady? Young man, what good is that? That's no good. That's no good at all. Amen. God, help us to know that. Here's a man that had an appalling condition, but thank God there was a cure. There was a cure, amen, to be found. And the first thing I want to talk about, I don't know if I'll get done with it, but I want to talk about the instruments of this cure. The instruments. There are two. There are two basic instruments that God used in this text. You know who it was? The maid and the man of God. Not just the man of God and not just the maid, but both together as a team. Here, listen, let's look at this young, let's look at this maid. Now, I want all the young people to listen up just carefully as we look at this little maid. The Bible says in verse number two. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive. Did we understand what that implies, what that means? Brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I want to say some things about this little maid right quickly. The Bible says, first of all, that she was little in size. She was a little maid. Of course, the word little could be used to describe her physically. It could be used to describe her human age or her age. Little, young. The word little also could be referring to her from a social status. She probably wasn't known by too many ranks. She was a little maid. So the Bible tells us that she was a little maid. God is looking to use little people. God wants to use little people. Now I know we can brag about, and I'll say more about Elisha in just a minute, but I want to tell you, we can brag about the man of God and say, wow, praise God for Elisha. But if this little maid had not been providentially placed in a position and had the right attitude, instead of a bitter, sour, sold up attitude, Brother Fultz, she would have been mad at being made captive, brought out of the land of Israel, put in the land of Syria. She could have been mad at that change. But instead, God used her mightily. God used the little maid. Truly, the songwriter had it right, little is much when God is in it. Amen. God doesn't use big people. God uses little people. And when I say little, we're not talking physical stature or financial status. We're talking about little. Yeah, you don't see yourself as big, and you don't see yourself as valuable and more important than others. You take your position as humble and little, and God will use you. Our verse here at the church, and we say it often, not near and probably often enough, but our verse is Psalms 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You know why? Because we know that if God's going to use RBT, we're going to stay little, and we're not talking about numerically. We're not talking about not growing numerically. Amen. Well, I'm hoping God will send them in standing room only. I'd like to see that. Amen. I'd like to see that. But I want to tell you, we better stay small in our opinion of ourselves. We better not put our thumbs up under our suspenders, you know, and strut around, you know, like a turkey, amen, and think, well, look at us, man, RBT is it. No, all we are at best are sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. And we better not forget that, church. Amen. If we're going to lose the power of God, all we have to do is get cocky. All we have to do is get self-confident. All we have to do is think we're it and we're somebody and we're special and we're above everybody else. And we'll lose the touch of God. We'll lose the power of God. Amen. But if we'll stay humble, realize that we're undeserving of God's favor and help. Amen. Oh, yes. If we'll stay small, God will get big. This little maid was used. She was little in size. John 3:30 is a good verse somebody ought to remember. He must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, yes. Paul had it right, didn't he? In Galatians 2:20. For I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yet not I, but Christ. If you just took those few words right there, that little block of words, take it out of that verse and let that be your motto, God will use you. Yet not I, but Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. The flesh wants to turn that around, yet not Christ, but I. That's the way the flesh would like to say it. God help us, amen. But we're talking about the little maid. She was little in size. God in the Bible used little people, little things. There's too many to mention. God used David. God used the little lad with a little lunch, two small fishes and two loaves of bread. He used Gideon, which Gideon said he was the least of all of his house. God used the Apostle Paul, probably as great as anybody we know, Brother J.R. Do you know what Paul's name means? Paul's name, if you look it up in the Strong's, means little or small. You know why God used Paul the way he did? Paul stayed small. Paul stayed humble. Amen. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God help us, Brother Craig, to stay small. Amen. I read an illustration, I think, recently. I read an illustration about pride. He was talking about this sailor was taking a group of young people out on a little sailing trip out on the ocean, and he was handing out life jackets, and as he was talking about the do's and don'ts and the ins and outs of the trip, there was a young boy that knew more than the sailor, he thought. He kept talking about, oh, he knew the sea and he knew all of this and that and the other. And when the man that actually ran the boat, owned the boat, and was in charge of the trip was handing out life jackets or safety vests, he didn't give him one. And the young man said to the sailor, well, you didn't give me a life vest. He said, you don't need one. Your head's too full of hot air. Your head will float you, big boy. Amen. You ever been around somebody like that? That's a turnoff, isn't it? Somebody prideful and stuck on their self and think they're it, that's a turnoff. I've seen pretty people look ugly like that. Amen. I'm telling you. Sweet people they're a turnoff when they're prideful like that. Anyway, the maid was little in size. Number two, she was loyal in service. Well, I want you to get this. She was loyal in service. She had been taken captive. Now, what does that mean? That means she had been taken captive against her will. The enemy, Haman, and the host of the Syrians had come into the land of Israel and taken her away from family and taken her away from friends and taken her away from from home. Taken her away from the familiar. But watch this. Boy, this is good. Though she had been taken captive out of the land of Israel and brought into the land of Syria. And there's no comparison between Israel and Syria. She was experiencing change of circumstance, amen, that was not of her choosing. Amen. It was not of her choosing. Providence was at work, and she didn't even know it. But I like this. I'm talking about she was little in size and she was loyal in service. When she was taken captive, you know what she could have done? She could have gotten mad. She could have gotten bitter. She could have gotten angry. She could have, you know, a lot of things she could have gotten into in a bad, bad attitude. That would have hindered her from being used of God. But instead, look what it says in verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She was little in size, but she was loyal in service. Though she was not where she wanted to be from a natural point, and from a human point, from a physical point, social point, yet she, like Joseph, stayed faithful to serving God even in the land of Syria. Amen. God can use you. God can use you. Amen. God wants to use you. She was loyal in service. Now, like this, this is a great statement. Where she was not her choice. But what she was her choice. Are you listening? Where you are may not be of your choosing. Amen. Providence may choose it for you, but what you are are is your choice. And God help me and all of us together to have the attitude, where He leads, I'll follow. Where He leads, where He places me, where He positions me, I will serve. Amen. Now you've heard me tell this. When we first came or started coming or looking like it was going to happen for us to come to Rogersville, we didn't want to come. And my spiritual wife even said to me, "You go, you'll go without me." Because we were in South Carolina. We had our own little small house. We had our own place, you know, where Blake was born. And you know, I mean, that was that we had friends, had all kinds of friends and family around there. It wasn't far from where I was raised. I had kin people in the area, you know. I had hunting property in the area, fishing connections in the area. I didn't want to go. And when we first started coming up here, Miss Paul Sue, when we first started coming, my wife and I both said, "Nah. Not the will of God. I'm not going up there." No. Because it was dead at 4 o'clock. Discouraged. Wasn't it, Brother Brooks? It's terrible. I mean, you could smell death in the place. The devil tried his best, buddy, to put RBT out of business a long time ago. And it looked like he was going to succeed, didn't he, Brother Brooks? But thank God there's some backlog believers, as I call them. Amen. Them, it just keeps the fire going. Amen. Long term. And there were some folks, amen, that was here that just kept it going, struggling and just barely making ends meet on a monthly basis. And when I came, I thought, unto God, I don't want none of that. Because I left a mess and I didn't want to come into another mess. That's right. I needed a break, but I didn't get one. Amen. But my wife said, "You go, I'm not going. You go, you'll go alone. You'll go by yourself." And now she tells me that about RBT. "You leave RBT, you'll go by yourself." Amen. And I remind her, Brother Fultz, of had that attitude she had coming up here. "I don't want to go." It's a wonder, Brother Carroll, it's an absolute wonder they voted me in here. That's it, and it's her fault. I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about loyal and service. Amen. Brother Predmore, she said, "You'll go alone." Well, she would come. You know where she'd say it? Right where Miss Sandra was sitting. She'd bring her little self right through the back door, plop right down on the back row, wouldn't speak to nobody. That's right, honey. I'm not preaching. I'm not exaggerating. She wasn't exaggerating. I mean, she didn't. She had a terrible attitude.
Yeah.
"I don't want to be here." Say amen, honey. She's not that way now, Brother Mike. But I'm talking about 20 years ago. Amen.
I believe you.
And Brother Brooks, somebody, I don't remember if it was you or Brother Courtney, really Brother Roy, I told him, you know, I said, "Well, you know, we just need to pray for my wife, you know, and all that stuff." And he said, "Well, we're not voting on her, we're voting on you."
Yeah.
I said, "Praise God, there's hope for me. There's hope for me, amen." Of course, she's not that way now. She loves RBT and I do too. But loyal, loyal. We came up here, I didn't want to come originally, start with. She didn't want to come to start with. But as we came, we was just coming and preaching, you know. And next thing you know, RBT started getting in my heart. And I started getting in RBT's heart. And we started growing, and people started getting excited. People started coming out of the slump of discouragement, and people started getting saved, and people joining the church. And next thing you know, here I am. Amen. But I'm talking about loyal. God, if you want me in Rogersville, that's where I'm going.
Yes.
Amen. And several times they would ask me, "Preacher, let us vote on you. Let us vote on you." I started preaching in June of 92, and they finally I finally gave them the go-ahead in September of 92 to vote on me. I said, I'll let you vote. I'll tell you when I get a green light. They said, well, preacher, let's talk about finances. I said, I'm not interested in finances. I'm not interested in that. That's not going to be a calling card for me. I want to know one thing. God, do you want me in Rogersville? If you want me in Rogersville, you're God enough to take care of me. You're able to open doors that no man can close. You can close doors that no man can open. And boy, God has done that so many times. It's amazing how God did all of that. But oh, you know what? I realized God was putting us here. Amen. And Miss Arlene, that's been the thing that has kept me in the time of the storm many times. Is I know God put me here. Amen. That's right. You got to have that settled in your heart. You just got to get that settled in your heart. Hey, this is where God wants me. Through the thick or the thin, the storms of life, this is where God wants me. Amen. And when it gets tough, you won't tuck tail and run. Amen. You won't look for an exit sign. You just bog in, just dig in, get in the foxhole, and just hang in there and go with God. Amen. That's right. And I just want to interject this. I just want to interject this. Thank you, RBTers, that have stayed with it. I don't say that often. I don't say that often, but I want to tell you, I appreciate you. I want to appreciate you. Amen. You could have done like many have done. You could have set sail and looked for greener pastures elsewhere and left us hanging here holding the bag. Let us here right in the heat of things. But I want to thank you for standing with us. Thank you for staying with us, staying by the stuff. Amen. Thank you, and thank you again. Appreciate it. Amen. You want a preacher that'll stand and stay with it? But he can't do it alone. Thank you for being faithful. There's missionaries staying on the field because you're faithful. Thank you. Thank you for being loyal to serve in the storm. When things don't go your way, things weren't going her way. She was taken captive. She was brought out of the land of Israel and put in the land of Syria. But she just kept being loyal, faithful to serve. Amen. What about this, Brother Pridmore? The very person that got leprosy was the very person that was instrumental in taking her captive. You know what she could have said, Miss Debbie? Good enough for you. You had it coming to you. Yeah, you got leprosy. You'll be out of the picture for long. You can't do me wrong and get by. No. When she heard he had leprosy, she said, I tell you what you can do, my Lord. You need to go see the prophet that's in Samaria. You need to go see the man of God. Here she is trying to help the very one that had hurt her, the very one that had done her wrong, the very one that had taken her captive, the very one that had messed up her world. Here she is helping him. I tell you what you need to do. You need to go see the prophet in Samaria. She was little in size. She was loyal in service. And then she was loving, she was loving of sinners. Just like I mentioned there, her captor, she could have hated him, but instead she loved and wanted to help and see him get saved, see him get right with God and all of that. Amen. Well, God's people, just bottom line, will love sinners and love people. Amen. God help us to do that. There'll be people do you wrong in life. I noticed this, and let me just point this out quickly. I noticed this in verse number 4. The Bible said, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. I'd never seen this before. I saw it earlier. She was in the land of Syria, but the Bible still had her as being of the land of Israel. Amen. You say, what is that? We're in this world, but we're not of it. You can take her out of Israel, but you can't take Israel out of her. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. We're in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're of a different world. We're serving under a different king. King Jesus. Amen. So she was little in size, loyal in service, and she stayed loving of sinners. God help me to brighten the corner where I am. Amen. Brother Pridmore, going to the country of Haiti, one of our missionaries. And I don't know, but preach, I don't know, how long has it been when the Lord started dealing with you about Haiti? Just a couple of years ago. In fact, you'd pastored before, right? Or pestered. Pestered. Yeah, Miss Tamitha says amen on that. That's what most young preachers do, is pester. But anyway, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God starts dealing with him about going to Haiti. Or as Brother Craddock says, going to Hades. They're probably pretty close to one and the same. But all of a sudden, here his world is changing. His call is changing. His direction is changing. Not just for him, but for his family. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for people that are willing to go with God, Brother Tim. Willing to go with God. My hat's off to you. I salute you in Jesus' name. Willing to step away and step out and go and do the will of God. I'm certain that it's not comfortable. I'm certain that it's trying at times. No doubt about it. But quitting's not an option. And Brother Pridmore, I appreciate you and your family. Amen. And the attitude, even through all the changes and the transition even now that's underway, that they're staying true and loving sinners and going on and serving God. But we're talking about the instruments of getting saved. Was a little maid, and or a maid, and then there was the man of God. How do you think the young maid, the little maid, knew about Elisha? I mean, she knew well who he was. She knew his name. She knew where he was. How do you think she knew that? Could it be that he was instrumental in her getting right, getting saved? Do you think that her life had the touch of God through the man of God in her life? She spoke with confidence. Hey, I know where there's a prophet. I know where there's a man of God. I know where there's a man of God. Oh, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Have the power of God on my life. Amen. To preach with power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want that on my life. Amen. Where people can say, and it's not braggadocious, it's not a boastful thing, but people could say, oh, hey, go down there to RBT. I promise you, you'll hear the truth. Go down there to RBT. There's a man of God down there that'll preach the truth to you. If you want to hear the truth, go to RBT. I'd like to have folk being able to say that.
Amen.
Amen. There's the man of God. And so the king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel. As we read there in verse 6 and 7 and 8. And how that he thought that this man could heal him. And he said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? And then it was so. Elisha heard about all the situation. And he said, tell him to come see me. Verse number 9, so Naaman came with horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Wouldn't you agree with me that's a simple thing? That was a simple remedy? Well, getting saved is easy. Getting willing to be saved is difficult. God can save you, I mean, that quick. But getting willing to be saved, that is a chore. In fact, it takes the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place. Here's a man of God telling him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And of course, Naaman, he was mad about that. Well, I thought you would just come out here and wave your hand over me and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. But it didn't happen. He said, you need to go dip seven times in Jordan. And he was in a rage over that. He got upset over that. And he said, are there not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? In verse number 12, we've got rivers that are cleaner and nicer and neater. Why not use them? But instead, the man of God says, no, go to the Jordan. You know, getting saved, a lot of times you're going to have to do what your flesh don't want to do. Isn't that right? You'll have to do, I guarantee it. Brother Sutherland would testify this morning when he got saved. Before he got saved, there was probably a war match going on in his soul sitting back there on that pew. Guarantee it, between the flesh and the spirit, and between the devil and God, and just a war going on, you know. Of course, we know who won. Praise the Lord. We know who won. Thank God for that, amen. But oh, listen. Go wash seven times. Seven's a number of new beginning in scripture numerology. And so the man of God told him to go, and he went. And, you know, he was upset about it. He hated the message. He didn't like it. Repentance is not going to set well with you. Getting saved, denying yourself, is not going to set well with you. But you're going to have to do that if you're going to get saved. If you're going to have to get saved. Amen. So he gets right with, he does what the man of God says. And he goes and dips seven times in the Jordan. And he comes out, and the desires are there. The inclination, I mean, the outcome is what the man of God said. Oh, yes. I was telling Brother Sutherland this morning there after he'd gotten saved. I said to him, when God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I said he wasn't kidding. Amen. He wasn't joking. Amen. If you do what God's word says, then God is bound by his word. God has got to save everybody that'll do what he says in his word. Amen. Are you willing to do what God said? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to turn from sin? Are you willing to believe the gospel? Are you willing to do that? If you are, God will save you. God will save you by his good grace. Amen. Well, and you know the story. He finally surrendered. He finally submitted. He finally said, okay, it's not what I'm thinking, what I'm reasoning out, what I would like to do. He said, I'm going to do what I'm told from God to do. And he did it. And the Bible said in verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. And then in verse 15, after he got saved and the leprosy was gone, that's what getting saved is. God deals with the sin in your life. God deals with the sin in your life. And he gets right with God, he gets saved. Listen to what happens in verse 15. He comes to the man of God and he says in verse 15, behold, now I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel. You know what he's doing there? Confessing. Right. He said, I've been made clean. Now I'm confessing that the Lord, he is God. I'm confessing. And then he says, he said, now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And of course, the Elisha wouldn't take it. Amen? And that's not a verse of scripture that you'd use against taking care of the man of God. The motive behind that's what was being rejected. Naaman was trying to pay him for being instrumentally used in his salvation. And that's when when Elisha said, no, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that. Amen? Right. And then he goes on to say verse, where is it at? Let's see here. Verse number 17, he said, for thy servant will henceforth offer no neither burnt offering nor sacrifice any other gods, but unto the Lord. Here's a man, after he gets right with God and gets saved, he says, I'm going to serve God. God's He's the only God. I'm going to serve him. I'm not going to be involved in idolatry. And he says in verse 17, I'm not going to sacrifice unto no other God except God. Amen. Except the Lord, but unto the Lord. He was grateful for what the Lord had done for him. He was grateful how the God took and cleansed him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what gratitude was in his heart? Can you imagine what gratitude was in his heart? Here was a man that was headed to the graveyard physically. Leprosy was deadly, it was fatal, incurable. Now here God has intervened. He's gotten saved. He's gotten right with God. Because God used a little maid and a man of God. And as a result, his life is forever changed. He never got over it. Every time he got a chance, probably said, did I ever tell you about being a leper? Without hope. And God worked. God worked in my life. Amen. He had to go beyond. He had to get beyond pride. He had to get beyond natural powers. He had to go beyond. He had to receive the simplicity of the message. Getting saved is simple. Getting willing to be saved is the difficult part. He was better than he was before. Here's a man, even before leprosy came on. But when he got cleansed, the Bible said his flesh was as of a little child. So he was actually a lot better off after he got right. Amen. Better than he was before. He had a conviction that God was God. He had an invoked gratitude. It was inspired to worship. And he went on to serve God. I wonder how many in the service tonight be willing, young people, to be a little maid that God could use you. Use you where you are. Amen. Use you where you are. God help us. God help us to care about sinners. As she did. She did. She cared about sinners. And God used her mightily. Amen. Naaman, an Old Testament example of the grace of God. How God can save and work in people's lives. Amen. I want you to stand with me, please. Head